The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
It ain't the left side or the right side, and it must be the fin side. It ain't the left side or the right side.
Good morning, Dolphins fans. Welcome to the On the Fin Side podcast with Kat and Paul. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, all of our social media outlets, as well as the Fan Side Network and FinFanatic.com. Great to be back with you all here. We've been a little bit slower here in May due to a couple things, scheduling conflicts. And you know what? Quite frankly, after the draft is over, I usually take May to kind of cleanse myself of all NFL related things.
Well, not still a cleanse?
I do football stuff, not health cleanse. No. Who's got time for that? It's barbecuing season. So
just some seaweed, man. Come on.
No, but I mean, we go really hard at it throughout. I mean, look, from August to early May, we're doing something. We've always got content lined up. We've got, you know, because you go from preseason to the regular season to the playoffs to coaches getting fired or hired, and then right into free agency, the combine, NFL draft. That's 9 months out of the year. So then we're still going to have shows here. Hopefully once a week, we're going to be putting any type of content that we can here together. We're going to today be talking about the 53-man roster and specifically the locks to make the roster as it sits here today. Now, I want to be very clear on this too, that this, if we don't have somebody on this list, that doesn't mean we don't think they're going to make the team. We're going to have another show on that here probably next week, 53-man roster prediction early on. So, Paul, taking a look here at this exercise here, I'm curious, how many players did you have as locks to make the roster? I've got my firm number. I'm interested in knowing yours because we didn't talk about this beforehand.
It's fluctuated for me over the past few days working on this between 34 and 37. I think I ended up at 37 here. I need to add them back up, to be honest with you, because I played with it so much, even this morning. Like, it's, you know, there's a couple I agonized over. There's a couple that I'm like, they're more of a salary cap lock than an actual lock for me. But, and that's been one that I go back and forth on as far as Chris Greer, because they have shown a propensity at times to say, yep, we're going to eat it, but this guy isn't it. So.
Right. So you have 37, if I hear you correctly. Yeah. I have 38 and I have six more that are close. So not like some previous years, not as many roster spots available. And that is a testament to this team has become a lot more talented over the last couple of years. You know, I remember back in 2019, I think we did this show and we probably had like 18 roster locks. It was pathetic. So.
Well, and the funny thing is we're in a different scenario now, just to touch on it real quick, where we've got a lot of talent and depth at a lot of positions now, where there are going to be some tough cuts. There are going to be some tough trades that are going to happen at the end of the preseason or throughout the preseason or throughout the offseason, because Miami is overloaded at some of the positions. So now there are some guys that don't make this roster or make my list as roster locks because, well, not because they're not good, but because they're fighting for their lives as far as that goes.
Yeah, I've got six or seven guys here who I've got my 53-man roster in mind. there's six or seven guys that like, wow, you're like, somebody's going to get a real steal when the Dolphins cut this guy. So that's how it is. And it's a good situation to be in. So let's go ahead and go down the list here. First at quarterback, obviously Tua Tagovailoa and Teddy Bridgewater. Pretty straightforward there.
Yeah. I did hem and haw on Teddy Bridgewater. Just because I do, but eventually the fully guaranteed salary locked him in for me.
Yeah.
Just because I know Skylar Thompson has performed very well at OTAs. There was a lot I liked when I watched his tape. But at the end of the day, Teddy's a veteran. Teddy's a veteran backup. You know what you're getting. And on top of that, his salary is, you know, $6.5 million guaranteed.
Yeah, it's fully guaranteed. So he's 100% on the roster. It's if Skylar Thompson does well and you are fearful of losing him, then you absolutely keep him as the third quarterback. Mm-hmm. You know, so that'll be one of the fascinating things. I wasn't huge on the Skylar Thompson pick, but also I don't really care about late seventh round. Like, I mean, there's what's the difference between that and an undrafted free agent? Pretty much nothing. So, and also I was pumped to see that we're going to actually have a quarterback this preseason that we drafted. That's going to get a lot of reps. We're going to be talking about Skylar Thompson a lot here in August. No doubt about that. Running back. Now you made a spot on comment there about some of these players who were roster locks or not. This is not our roster locks. It's what we think is going to happen. So running back and linebacker, you've got some guys who that's, you know, the amount of guaranteed money that they signed for is going to really come into play. So at running back, I just had two guys, Chase Edmonds and Alec Ingold at fullback. Now, the other, Raheem Mostert and Sony Michel, I have on my list as close because, look, Raheem Mostert signed a contract that was, you know, 1 year, $2 million, but $1 million guaranteed. If you bring Raheem Mostert in and he has lost a step because of that injury last year, that's when it'd be like, you know what? We're just going to eat the $1 million because he has no other value on the team. He's not a receiver. He's not a blocker. He doesn't do much else. Sony Michel signed a contract, a small contract too, $850,000 guarantee, which is not chump change. But if you bring him in and he's being outperformed, he's the fourth or fifth best running back in camp, you probably cut him too. But as it stands, Mostert and Michel are likely to make the team. But as this is a roster lock show, so I've got two, and that's Chase Edmonds and Alec Ingold.
I'm right there with you.
Okay. Okay. Well, I talked for a while there with the running back. So wide receivers, how many do you have that are locks?
I have three.
Okay. I think pretty obvious who they are.
Waddle, Hill, and Wilson. It's there are a lot of talented receivers in that room. And while I don't think Preston Williams should make this roster, even though he's very talented, he might beat out Eric Azukama, which he's got a long road to hoe there. And he might beat out Lynn Bowden. And, you know, something has to give somewhere numbers wise. If Skylar Thompson does make the 53 man, something's got to give somewhere else. And this is a position where we've got a lot of talent and depth. So this may be where we see a couple of the tough cuts or trades.
Yeah, I've got your three guys, obviously, Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle, Cedric Wilson. I've got Azukama as a lock. And if you want to know what I was doing all May, it was trying to pronounce his name. That's where I focused all of my energy. But the reason I have Azukama as a lock is because he's a mid-fourth round pick. And I looked at, if you look at the fourth round, all the fourth round players drafted in the NFL last year, I believe all of them are still with their original teams. He would have to perform very, very poorly in August in training camp and preseason to be cut. And so is he 100%? No, I'm sure he was pretty close for you to be a roster lock.
100%.
Yeah. So, yeah, I've got four, and then it's going to be an interesting battle for that fifth and or sixth receiver position there with Preston Williams, with Lynn Bowden, and a few of the other guys here like River Craycraft and Trent Sherfield, who are familiar with Mike McDaniel's offense. So yeah, I've I've got four there. Tight end, I have three. Mike Gesicki, Durham Smythe, and I don't see a way. I went back and forth on Hunter Long being a lock. I'd be shocked if he ended. I mean, he would have to perform so badly to not make the 53-man roster.
Yeah, and I did the same thing with him, and I ended up putting him on my list as well. And with that scenario, so the difference for me between Hunter Long and Eric Ezukama, who I do think makes the roster at the wide receiver position, is behind those three, you've also got Adam Shaheen, who probably makes it, but you're not going to keep 4, 5, 6 tight ends and fullbacks. And that's where it's very hard to guarantee a roster spot behind those three.
Absolutely. And after, you know, with the locks we have, we've got Ingolden fullback, Gesicki, Smythe, and Long at tight end. So there's four right there. You probably have Shaheen and Seath and Carter, and maybe John Lovett, the fullback, battling for that final roster spot. So, yeah, I'm there with you there. Offensive line, I had a lot of guys that were kind of in the middle here. As very close to putting on the locks list. How many overall did you have on the offensive line locks?
I ended up with 7.
Okay, I had 6. So, Teron Armstead, Connor Williams, Michael Dieter, Robert Hunt, Austin Jackson, Liam Eichenberg were my 6.
I had Hunt, Williams, Dieter, Armstead. I had Robert Jones.
Okay.
And then Austin Jackson and Eichenberg, while they may not be my picks, they do both have a lot of ability that this coaching staff did talk about. And again, those are two very high picks that still have a decent amount of salary left. And I think the coaching staff is going to see if they can unlock them here.
Absolutely. And you also, because, I mean, their rookie contracts are fully guaranteed. So if the Dolphins cut them, they actually end up losing money. So they would have to be pretty bad to get to that point. I mean, we've seen bad out of Austin Jackson and Liam Eichenberg, but I don't think it gets quite that bad. Yeah. I had Robert Jones on my list too, as being close to, because, I mean, as a former undrafted free agent, you know, and then he gets into the game last year and against the Patriots and looks very good. You know, given his guard tackle versatility, especially after cutting Jesse Davis. Yeah. I mean, it's hard to see them keeping 8 or 9 offensive linemen on the roster and Jones not being one of them. So I was really close with him.
It's going to be a dogfight for those last two spots though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it will. And yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, Greg Little, Solomon Kinley, and a list of other, you know, Kellen Deesh, the undrafted free agent that we talked about from Arizona State. Yeah, a lot of guys. Larnell Coleman, Adam Pankey. I mean, it's going to be a huge fight for those last two spots. And that's what's going to make August so fun with training camp and with these preseason games. So on the offensive side of the ball, looks like we're on the same page with roster locks. The only difference we have is I've got Eric Ezukama, the wide receiver, as a lock. You have Robert Jones as a lock. So not too much difference here. This show was a lot more interesting back in 2019 when we just had no idea who was going to be on the roster. I mean, it was throwing darts back then. So defensive side of the ball. Now, front 7 could get a little weird because it's a, you know, who's an edge player, who's a defensive end, are they an outside linebacker? So we may have to talk through this a little bit more. But as far as let's start out with defensive tackle, strictly defensive tackle. I've got 3 guys making it, or excuse me, 3 guys as roster locks: Christian Wilkins, Raekwon Davis, Zach Sealer, and another guy who was close. How about you?
So with how you phrased that, I have 3. And again, it's the way we listed these guys out. And I've got Wilkins, Sealer, and Davis. At this point, there are guys close, but again, there's going to be some dogfight for anybody behind them.
Right. And you got Adam Butler too, who is in the last year of his contract. the Dolphins, if they wanted to, could cut him, and they save $4.15 million. They're out clean on that. So if you get to the end of camp and you have some of these undrafted free agents who the Dolphins signed, you know, nipping at the heels are really impressing. And maybe you give some thought to that. I'd still be surprised in a year like this if Adam Butler were cut. Because on third down last year, even though he only had two sacks for the year, a lot of pressure, and he did a lot of the dirty work in pass rush when the Dolphins were up in the fourth quarter. So I still see him making the roster, but not a roster lock, but close. So looking at the edge spot, Emmanuel Ogba, Jalen Phillips, Andrew Van Ginkle, and Melvin Ingram, I've got as my four roster locks there.
Over there, I have Ogba, AVG, Phillips, and that's it.
Okay, so no Melvin Ingram.
No, I do think Melvin Ingram makes his roster, but not being a starter, I don't have him as a lock. He's somebody that it's going to be a very big variable as to whether he truly ends up fitting as we get here through camp and ends up being worth it. And in some respects, with him being an experienced veteran as well, if he is staring at a very reduced role, occasionally with guys like that too, if they're unhappy with that role, they do let those guys walk. And so I can't put him on the guaranteed list, although
got
I think
it, got
he could
it.
Add a lot of value to this team.
Got it. I'm looking at the contract details here. And so Ingram, let me see. He signed a 1-year, $4 million deal. That was a few weeks ago. Obviously, I really like that signing too. $3.32 million guaranteed. And that's a pretty big commitment. That's the reason I've got him as a lock. I mean, yeah,
it's close.
Yeah, and it could. But he's also somebody who's 33 years old. So if you get into camp and this guy is clearly lost a step, I don't anticipate that. But if he's clearly lost a step, maybe you start having that conversation. I could start.
Three years ago, you say Melvin Ingram, and he's coming in and he's starting over an AVG or a Phillips.
Right.
Right now, he's coming in a relief pitcher role along that defensive front. And that's it is an okay chunk of money, but it's not something that's wholly prohibitive from letting him go.
Right. Yeah, I'd be surprised, but yeah, I mean, again, that's where it gets to. Hey, you've got him on the roster. It's a question of making the roster, or is he a lock? And that's what the show's all about here. And Brendan Scarlett, I also have as an edge player. I don't have him as a lock, but somebody who the Dolphins made a point to bring back all of their backup linebackers and give them, you know, right around $1 million of guaranteed money. So they're going to carry some of these guys here. I don't have Brendan Scarlett as a lock.
And no.
If he makes the team too. I think he's got and guaranteed money, $500,000 guaranteed money. So that's not a big hit if you end up cutting him. The remaining off-ball linebackers, I've got Jerome Baker, Elandon Roberts, Channing Tindall, and Duke Riley, all as locks to make the 53-man roster.
I like Duke Riley. I think he makes the roster. But as far as locks go, I've got three linebackers, and that's Tindall, Baker, and Roberts.
Okay. Yeah, and Roberts, we've talked about for years here kind of wanting to replace him. You know, on first and second down, he's had some big plays, no doubt about it. You remember the pick six last year against the Raiders that put the Dolphins up 7-0, you know, and you remember all the fourth down stops. But other than that, very, very feast or famine. I think you've called him the linebacker version of Terrell Buckley. And I think that's very well said. But the Dolphins did bring him back 1 year and fully guaranteed $2.75 million. He's making the roster unless he's making the roster. No doubt about that. And yeah,
he's also a veteran leadership voice, and they've talked about that a lot this offseason. And that's where, for me, I think he's going to be a key cog as a substitute player once Tindall takes over the other linebacker role of Jerome Baker. But he's on a pitch count at this point.
Yeah. Duke Riley, I've got as a lock because, again, guaranteed money, $1.25 million guaranteed, which is anything, I think anything over $1 million is pretty, you know, is a pretty big commitment to that type of player. And, you know, Duke Riley played on special teams last year. He played 200 plus snaps on the defensive side of the ball. I can't see a way that a someone like, I don't know, Sam Egwuvon or, you know, any other of the linebacker, Calvin Munson, I can't see one of them leapfrogging Duke Riley. It'd be a shock to me if that were to happen. Maybe very, very iffy if he's a lock or not, but I did put him on there as the fourth guy. Defensive back. Let's start at the cornerback spot. Who do you have there as the locks?
I have X, Byron, Needham, and Keon Crossan due to special teams prowess. I do think guys like Igbinoghene make the team. We've heard a few quotes where some folks were high on some of the things that they've seen. The athletic ability is completely there. But, oh, and, yeah, did I say Needham? Needham is a lock as well.
I think so. Okay. But yeah. So, yeah, I've got five. I do have Keon Crossan as a lock, too. Again, the financial commitment, 3 years, $10 million. He's got a lock guaranteed here in the first year, too. I don't have that exact number. But, yeah, I mean, this is somebody they signed very early in free agency to be one of those guys. So I've got X, Byron Jones, Needham, Crossan, and I've got Noah as a lock too, very simply because, again, fully guaranteed former first round pick money he's got coming his way. So you're going to lose money by cutting him. And I don't know. Noah's surprised us with his ineptitude to this point. So maybe he's so bad they pay to cut him. We'll see. But it is good that, you know, Sam Addison has talked him up a lot here this, you know, so far since being hired about what a hard worker he is. We haven't seen it on the field yet. Let's just hope for the best there. Safety. I only have two, Javon Holland and Brandon Jones.
I have three, and I went back and forth a little bit on the third, but I don't think this is the year that we part ways with Eric Rowe. I think, again, some of the veteran leadership, his ability with tight ends. And this is a team that's right on the cusp of being able to make that run. And I think Rose safe for another year, but there's a couple of young guys nipping at his heels.
Yeah. I've got Eric Rowe and Adam Butler kind of in that same area where you could cut, if you cut both of them, you'd be creating about $9 million in cap room, and you can always roll that over to next year too. I mean, in a year like this, I don't see the point. I mean, I always say too with Eric Rowe, okay, if you cut Eric Rowe and you save $4.5 million, my first thought is who's out there on the market, and you're probably going to end up paying him $3, $4, $5 million. You know, that third safety spot is very important. And Eric Rowe last year played 600 plus snaps on defense. I mean, we talked about a Landon Roberts. I think he played 620. Eric Rowe played a few more than that, even as that third safety. So yeah, I'm all for him being on the roster, and I think he will be. I don't have him quite as a lock, but very close. And then Clayton Fedulam, you know how we feel about him, especially on defense. But the Dolphins did restructure his contract, so he's got $1 million guaranteed this year, too. So I do see him making the roster, not quite as a lock. And that's going to be fascinating to see in preseason. Undrafted free agent Veron McKinley, who is very surprising that he wasn't drafted by anybody. So a big priority free agent, former teammate of Javon Holland at Oregon. So Sheldrick Redwine and Veron McKinley, do they make enough noise to give the Dolphins some pause on keeping both veterans Rowe and Clayton Fedulam? We'll see.
Yeah. And it could, this is one of the positions where it gets interesting. And one guy that I don't know where to put along the defense. I mean, he changed to a 50s number and bulked up a little this offseason, even though he's played mostly safety and corner and been bounced around. But it shows the fact that this regime does like him a lot, and that's Trill Williams. So he's one that's probably making the roster, but you can't put as a lock. I mean, there are a lot of guys we left off this list. And for me, Adam Butler is a little different situation, just going back to something you just said. Even though I like Butler, I think he makes the roster. I think he's very underrated as far as his value to the defense. Somebody like Cameron Goody could come out and take over his role, or they could see it where, you know, the fact that a lot of times he's on the field on pass rush downs. One of the things Melvin Ingram did very well for the Chiefs last year was set the edge against the run from that, you know, hand in the dirt position at times. And yeah, with his pass rush ability, which is better than Butler's, they could look at some combination out there to replace what Butler does for you with guys that are on the roster and might be a little bit cheaper.
Yeah. I mean, you're talking about Melvin Ingram and Adam Butler, who would not start, would play a lot of snaps, but combined they'd be making about $8 million for both of them. So that may be, you're right. If a younger player steps up, it could give the Dolphins some pause in keeping some of these veterans on defense on the roster. So, but the other side of that too is that, hey, the Dolphins are gearing their team to win for the next 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you also look at that and say, okay, well, what's the point of saving $3 or $4 million by cutting a Melvin Ingram or an Adam Butler when you're trying to put as much meat on the bone this year as you possibly can? So those are the stories that are going to happen here this August.
There is a point to that, though. And it's something that Chris Greer in this Dolphins front office has shown that they do like to do. If they don't spend every dollar they have in cap space unless there's something that they want. Otherwise, they keep that little bit there, either A, to be able to supplement during the season if needed due to injuries, or B, to roll over into next year's cap. And it'll be interesting to see as the preseason goes on, they're going to have a lot better idea of, is this really the team that can make that run like we think they can? And if they think it's one that can make the run next year when they've also got a tremendous number of draft picks, they might try to just squirrel away a little bit of extra cap room for next offseason.
Absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, some of these contracts here, they have the flexibility to, you know, maybe move up some money to pay Tyreek Hill a little bit more next year and not so much in the back end of his contract when he's in his 30s. So that it's nice to have that flexibility. And that's why this year it's so important that Tua takes that next step. I mean, that is so much of this season, because if he does, you're going to have him this year and next year on a rookie contract. And it gives you the ability and the flexibility cap wise to move things around, to add players to your roster throughout the season too. So, Paul, anything else jump out from you from chat here?
No, I mean, it's, you know, a couple of jokes about Igbinoghi being an all pro. But no, I think people seem to be mostly in lockstep with us on a lot of this stuff. One of the things too that I like is, as much as you and I will go back and forth on positioning a lot of the folks in the front seven as far as who they are and what they do, I've seen a lot of it in the chat as far as what people are considering different people to be. And one other thing in chat too, Grandy, dude, you're killing it with getting the info up there for us. I appreciate that.
Absolutely, Grandy. Thanks a lot. And thank you all for joining us here today. We're going to wrap this up here. Be sure to join us next weekend. We'll keep you updated on the time, which we do our best to get that up as quickly as possible when we identify a time we're going to have the show. But be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, all of our social media outlets, as well as the Fansided Network and FinFanatic.com. I'm Brian Catt, NFL. Paul is Fanatic_pick. And if it's not on the right side and it's not on the left side, it is on the fin side.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.